Welcome to another episode of The Adventures of Danny and Mike, wherein the fellas discuss smokable lanyards, the fish food court, and the Hall of Bezos, with special guest Holden McNeely. Now play the music, fishy.
Dad brain is real, man.
Yeah, I
can believe everything.
It's not. It doesn't exist. It's not a real
thing. True.
It's not a real thing.
It does exist.
No, I was going to ask how your fucking child is, man.
Dads who went on fish tour brain exists.
Dads who dab exists.
Oh,
dads
who dab. Dabbing dads.
Actually,
.com.
I don't dab because I turn into that kid from the video that just goes and does nothing.
Dude,
and they're like, oh shit.
He turns into
the
T-1000, and then one of us has to hit him with a baseball bat. He shatters into a million pieces on the floor.
I can smoke plenty of flour. I can smoke plenty
of
vape
pens. Why are we sitting here?
With the best of them, yeah.
But a dab, like a real, like true, like high fucking octane dab will fuck me up.
So I had I wasn't present at this, but I had three friends go to like a weed festival in like Colorado or whatever, right?
It's like something you wear a badge,
right?
To.
Yeah. They had lanyards.
Yeah, yeah, lanyard
made
city.
Made of hemp.
Yeah. All that, yeah, made of shape of smokable lanyards. Yeah. And they get there. The first thing they do is walk up to this dab stand.
That was my white boy, Diggable Planets tribute band. Smokable lanyards. Yeah.
They walk up to this dab stand. They each take a dab. The third guy, a friend of mine, takes his dab hit and literally just collapses the ground and just starts going like, and just like seizures out. First stop on the weed tour. Everyone's like, the friends are like, come on, man. Pull through. Don't make us go to the fucking emergency room right now, dude.
These badges are good for 3 days, dude. Don't fucking reduce the value of my badge by one third immediately.
He's just going, they had to go, literally was going, with so, like claw hands.
So basically, his friend did a whip it instead of a dab. Dude.
It can affect you in weird ways, man.
And it fried his fucking brain.
And they had to go to the like they were probably there for 15 minutes, and all of a sudden they're in the hospital.
I didn't even
so
get
sad.
Schwag.
I didn't get. Remember schwag?
Yeah, exactly. But the other kind.
We call them middies.
Yeah, my buddy middies, beasters. I remember was a word.
Beasters
too.
Are disgusting.
Yeah, my buddy Ed. You know Ed from Roundtable is the Brighter Side, all that, Ed Larson, he would specifically, still does, looks for schwag because he loves to roll big honking blunts. So he's on the lookout. If he finds schwag, he's like excited.
He's called a schwag hound.
Yeah, he's a schwag hound, exactly.
It's so cheap. It's all schwag prices these days.
Right.
You can roll as big a blunt as you want in California when they have $100 ounces.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Speak for yourself.
Well, before we get a little further into all the dab talk, let's start the show. Welcome to Adventures of Danny and Mike. To my right, Mr. Danny Tamborelli. And to his right, Mr. Michael C. Marona.
How you doing?
And our guest for the entire hour, Holden Mayerzo! It's Holden McNeely, ladies
What's
and gentlemen.
Hey, everybody. It's really good to be here.
Hi, Holden.
What's up, Holden?
Ooh, good. I am good.
LP and brethren.
Yes.
Holden McNeely, ladies
Absolutely.
And gentlemen.
Absolutely. It is so nice to be here finally. And I am just pleased. It's just like living that podcast life. And I don't know. What's up?
LTP.
Podcast life, man.
You're on the grounds of SKS right now. Welcome to Salter King Studios.
Dude, I love this, man. Oh, this is the coolest, like, I don't know if people, well, I guess you have like a little camera thing going on.
Yeah, for the listener, I don't know if you see the bubbles going on in the background.
If you're a Patreon member, you get to see all of this.
Easy
now. Oh, awesome. Oh, okay, yeah. So that's just for the
little,
special.
Just a little $5. It's no big deal.
I'm going to go ahead and say that just for $5, you get a really fucking rad view of this dope studio. But I guess if you don't want that, you can save $5 a month.
Yeah,
what do you do?
You can put that towards thrift.
Or swag.
Yeah.
Or
you could buy a single cup of coffee at Starbucks with that money, or you could save it and spend it on some fucking hours of it. You know, that's just me. I don't know.
I've seen some commercial with the little paper bunny that runs around and changes colors. You've got yellow money, spend money.
Remember Howard Schultz? How long ago was that, man?
Ugh. my God.
Like,
I don't
that
remember.
That feels like a million years ago that the president of Starbucks was saying, I want to be president of the United States.
Oh, right.
We've
come so far.
There's so many people wanting to be president right now, too. It's really fun.
I feel awful like ever having bought anything there that made him think that he could be president.
Right.
Don't let this money give you the wrong idea. Oh, unfortunately, it did give him the wrong
idea. It's like, that's like if Bezos is like, let's do it. I'm going to take this country to the moon. And be like, I don't want to go to the moon.
What's stopping him from doing that
Bezos,
in 4 years?
Yeah. Schultz, 2024.
Bezos Schultz?
Yeah.
Amazon Starbucks, 2020.
Why not Schultz Bezos? Don't you want to advance?
But Bezos has more money.
Yeah, but Schultz has more hair. You want a little peach fuzz up there. Bezos not from Brooklyn. Schultz from Brooklyn.
I want Musk on the space team ticket. We go full. They go on a full. They launch their own fourth whatever party,
Listen,
whatever it is.
You rub that ticket the wrong way, there's going to be Musk on it no matter what.
It's going to be just a stinky bear.
A multi billionaire, you can't get the work done from Bosley to give yourself some hair again.
You know what I mean?
Some plugs, something nice.
Wear some
He's
kind
got that
of...
kind of money. He could really like...
Yeah, but then you don't look like Lex Luthor.
Oh, that's a good point.
Which I think is more important to look like an evil sort of villain in a Superman sort of situation.
That's what he thought when he was selling books. He was like, one day, I am going to be Lex Luthor.
I bet he has a fucking crazy good head of hair if he grows it out, but he's purposely shaving it bald.
Are you kidding? He has it at home on a second dome.
On his clone.
No, he has a second... on his clone. That's pretty good. I figured that he just like ripped it off a living like flesh head that he keeps just alive at home. Like, you know, farming. Just,
like
just hair
in
farming.
Game of Thrones, like the all the different faces.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
he's like
Bezos.
That.
Hall of Faces.
But with different hair cells.
Hall of Bezos.
The Hall of Bezos. And yeah, and he has his own personal surgeon.
The many Bezos God.
Yes, exactly. That's the thing. Bezos rich, it's like, what do you get creative with your money?
It's awful.
You get a surgeon to replace your hairstyle.
Nobody should be able to fantasize like that. Tax 100% above $1 billion.
You know, yes. I try to say that, but then it was like I was watching this new documentary called The Wealth Generation, I believe it's called. It's a lady who did what's it called?
Born Rich.
King of Versailles, Queen of Versailles. Okay. Which was a documentary about building the biggest house in America. And then the guy who was building it, he
passed
was like,
away, right?
No. The housing market crashed and he was like a timeshare mogul. So he lost all of his money in the middle of them building the biggest house in America. And it's one of my favorite docs. But then she made a follow up called Wealth Generation. And at first we're sitting there just being like, you know what? I don't need all this money. I just want enough money to be comfortable. But then about 5 minutes later, we were like, so what would you have in your dream home? Would you have I would have a movie theater, right? Would you have a movie theater in your home? Yeah. I'd probably, you know what I mean? Just immediately start fantasizing about this is the extravagancies, you know, and it never ends. You know what I mean? We'll never be satisfied.
Yeah. I want three infinity pools right next to each other, spanning the whole backyard. I don't care if I live in Kansas and it's flat as fuck. I want them.
Dude, they're so like light up infinity pools. I went to Jeff Ross's one time, which is definitely me dropping a name and trying to be cool. And
it's better than him showing up at your house, right? All drunk and surly. And
yeah, that would be embarrassing. Yeah, that would be tough. Just roasting me while I'm like trying to have sex with my wife. Yeah, that would be brutal.
So you're really powering away there.
You gotta come.
Wonder if she feels anything at all. Must be like your marriage.
She doesn't feel anything. I'm a bad man. I'm a worse husband. Yeah.
So
exactly.
When are you gonna finish? I got a slot at 9:30.
It's good. It's taking long. It's soft now. It's yeah. I don't know why I turned into what's his name from. It's a Jim's house. Yeah. Bill's house. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington there, but he had an infinity pool and it lit up in different colors and there was California weed marijuana there and everything and it was just so. So fun.
The pool was infused with California. It was California weed
water.
Oh,
yeah.
It was
weed
water. Pool. Yeah.
It's CBD pool.
Most people get extravagant. They're like, we want a salt water pool.
I had a really.
People in California get CBD water.
I had a really great experience traveling to Japan a few times.
Oh, my God. I want to go so bad. Yeah.
It's worth it, Holden.
Yeah.
I must say. if I'm allowed to, for the listener, I'm blushing. But I went to a couple of different public baths, and they were just great experiences. And probably the most exotic water I went into was the vitamin C water, But the CBD water.
CBD
now, that's
water. Oh, now we're talking.
It's a whole nother
thing. I went, like, people have drowned in that pool.
No, but they loved it. They were happy.
Exactly. They were in a Joker smiles good place on their face.
Yeah,
when
it turns out that's what happened.
The only water I will drown in is CBD water.
There you go.
When we were doing the, somehow or another, we found in the hotel room one time they had Dream Water. Ooh. And there were little bottles of Dream Water. And it says, take this before you go to sleep. You'll have great dreams. Mm-mm. And of course, I wanted to relabel it and put Nightmare Water. And just have like, all right, at your own risk. Right? Still luck, bud.
That's true. Yeah.
It's a brand that I never
I mean,
never
the explored. Nightmares.
Brand you hate.
Yeah.
The nightmares are more memorable, I would say. I did Dry January recently and don't want to remember my dreams.
You look yes, really good.
Frazzled. Yeah, good. I look good. I'm just going to say I like Harrod from the nightmares.
I've seen some photos of you, man. Let me just put that out there.
I it was rough.
How do yous know each other? Holding you and Dan or you and Jeremy?
Round table,
man boobs and murder fish
round
shows.
Round table
together.
Murder music, playing music.
The Cowmen and Jounce have played many a game together.
Oh, you both rockers?
Yeah, we both rock out a little bit. You know what I mean? I try to reel it in a little bit because I don't like to frighten the audience.
There's
whatever.
No children here. There's no children here.
You do a great job.
Thank you.
As a front person.
You're so good.
You get everyone very jazzed up.
Try to get them riled. You know, I try to be off the cuff too. You know what I mean?
And the Cowmen have a new album in the last couple months, right?
Yeah, we had a new EP drop. Wow. Okay. Yeah. We had a new EP drop. It's
you're in my feed. I didn't do a lot of research, but you're in my feed.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly. Okay. It did the least of it. Just saw my name on Facebook talking about it. But yeah, we just dropped a new EP. Check it out on Spotify and whatever, or just Google it. You know what I mean? Yeah, at this point, it's the Cowmen. And I think we're going to put out a third EP. Then we're going to put them all together, release it as an LP with like maybe a couple extra tracks.
Nice.
Call it and put it probably press vinyl like we did our first LP.
That's what you do.
Did
you hear there was a fire in California? Now the world supply of vinyl records is endangered.
I did not know about. I did know this about vinyl, that it has recently surpassed the sales of CDs. We have gone backwards.
That's not hard.
Right? Vinyl is now selling more than CDs, which
I think
love.
That's
yeah.
a round of applause
Agreed.
Right there. Yeah.
And but I did not fucking know that now it's an endangered species.
Yeah.
What are the warehouses, I think, caught on fire?
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah, apparently, like, there's only just a couple of factories.
Shame they keep
it
in one warehouse.
You see, what you need to do is, all of you record stores that have the 50-cent dollar bins, just keep tabs. Things that haven't sold in the year, send them back. Melt
them
that shit down, man. We need the wax.
Yeah.
What?
Just anything that's just kind of like Charles Chucks sings his songs to his family. Albums, albums like no one cares about. Like,
there are 7 million Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass Band records.
Exactly.
That can
I have
go
five
away.
Of those. Yes. I have five of those. But that sketch on.
You know Ray Conniff? I got all his records. God. Get rid of them.
That sketch on. Tim Robinson, I think you should leave of the guy talking about his record collection. Your record collection is very meat and potatoes. And they were on the Colgate Comedy Hour. Like that character spoke to me so hard that I had to watch it again and then cry. It was so good. I didn't cry, but it was really good.
That's amazing. Have you watched that?
No, you
it's
haven't.
Amazing. Yes,
you know the character. You know the sketch and the scene.
I have not watched it yet either, but that sounds like completely. I've been told over and over again to watch it. I think
it's Tim Robinson. It's alone, you should watch it.
It's easily digestible too. It's not like you have to commit to that much.
You know what it is? It's like I went through a phase in my life where I grew up in love with sketch comedy and then doing sketch comedy. And then I got to a point where I hated sketch comedy.
Oh, sure.
Or really just hated that I wasn't doing it on TV, I think, for a while. We were doing Murderfist for a long time.
Yeah, this feels similar.
Right? Yeah. Where you're like, now I'm cool with it again, so I just need to sit down and start. Because I've, especially the Tim Robinson show, I've heard is fucking fantastic.
That this functioned as an hour-long commercial for Tim Robinson.
That's all right, if anything.
So okay. We're going to get him on the podcast.
Marvel's Netflix's I Think You Should Leave starring Tim Robinson.
It's not on Disney Plus, but it might be someday. So we'll keep you posted on that.
Seriously, is it 5 years until Disney buys Netflix or less?
Of course. 5 years till Disney buys Bezos, dude, and fucking 8 infinity pools. And we'll fucking see what happens after that, bro.
CBD Bezos. CBD Bezos.
C Bezos D, which is coming out next week.
Wait, that's something different. C Bezos D is a whole nother.
C Bezos D is what Mohammed bin Salman hacked off of his cell phone.
It's 100%
correct. They got all of the nudes.
That's 100% correct. That's a good villain name though, Bezos. I really do like that. Oh, good as call. Like a killer. Yeah.
He would be a good Bond. He would be a great Bond
villain. He is a Bond, but like he's a like real life one.
Jonathan Pryce in Tomorrow Never Dies, like one of the terrible Pierce Brosnan ones.
Right, right.
Where he's playing a Rupert Murdoch, basically.
Right.
So Bezos, I think, can also fit that sort of.
Of course, man. Just this guy, he'll just shit. Oh, because also, dude. He just starts shipping bombs to people. Right. You know what I mean?
His next drone
day.
Force.
He doesn't just ship them. He ships them next day.
Yeah,
or same
and he
day
uses,
at that
And
point.
He uses that government's postal service to get it to them.
And that's the thing. And then he finds a way
They never expect it.
Never expect it.
Never
coming
from their
it.
Own people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He finds a way to blame it on Bernie Sanders. You know what I mean? He finds a way to case him for everybody thinks it's Bernie. Bernie starts showing up in a costume trying to fight crime. Everyone's like, you're too old.
Costume.
You know what I mean? Okay. He's like, it's an 87-year-old man dressed like
I got
a fucking,
my shot of lidocaine.
He's dressed like a fucking snail trying to fight people in the streets or whatever. And you're just like, the human snail's not going to work.
The human snail. I mean, we march on. We make several miles of progress a week.
If I spit a little more, I go faster.
I go exactly. If I lubricate so
my,
the
my
path
Bernie
in front
Sanders
of me.
Sounds like Al Pacino. I don't know why.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bernie Sanders.
So it's better.
I have one parody I can do, and it's a Bernie Sanders.
He sounds like Elvis.
That's weird.
No, Bernie Sanders.
Do you see why there's a Warren sticker out there?
That might have to change soon.
I think
poor lady.
I know your girlfriend decorates Seltzer King Studios, so that might be the where the Warren.
It's not, yeah.
It's not?
No, it's mine, yeah.
It's you.
I got two free stickers in the mail. One that says vote against hate, which I thought, yeah, of course. You should always vote against hate.
I disagree, but go on.
Okay. And then the other one was
March,
Warren.
I'd like to play devil's advocate if I may.
I think sometimes it's kind of fun in a jokery kind of way to vote for hate.
Listen, I am all for mixing it up a little bit. But and then
I hear you.
I've been supporting Warren for a little bit. But
I didn't see
again,
I didn't see your vote against hate.
It's right beside the
somebody stole it and put a swastika on it.
Yeah.
Spray painted that shit.
Yeah, this neighborhood is brutal. Oh my god. There was all this like I was walking outside, there's like this German music playing and just children marching, you know, like doing the whole hand movement and everything. It was terrifying.
What are you talking about?
And Jojo Rabbit won something.
Jojo Rabbit won screenplay, Taika Waititi, first indigenous person to take the award home. Fantastic. I actually really enjoyed Jojo Rabbit. Thought
I
it was fantastic.
It. I love that movie.
Absolutely. And I just love that Todd Phillips was like, you can't make comedies. It's woke culture. It's so funny. And then Todd Phillips loses to Jojo Rabbit, who wins best screenplay writing a comedy about Hitler as an imaginary friend. I thought that was a lot of
which
fun.
Which is, yeah.
Counterpoint.
People do get upset
counterpoint.
About it.
Gotcha.
In honor of that, I'm going home and watching Road Trip.
There you go.
And the fish documentary.
And the fish. Wait, the band?
Todd Phillips directed that shit.
He
directed Bittersweet
Motel. Is it the one
Motel.
That has all the naked people at the end, or is that a different fish documentary?
I don't think that was a fish documentary.
Are you guys fish?
No,
are you fish people?
That was a picture.
No,
right?
No I can still remember everything I've read in my life.
It's fucked up. Yes. Are you a fish boy?
I've seen fish over 100 times.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I've seen fish probably 10 times.
Bro, are we gonna have a fish off? It's a 10-to-1 ratio right now.
We know
Hoota,
the teams.
Bro.
Yeah.
You wanna talk Hoota right now, bro? I'll talk some fucking Hoota right
what do you
now.
Mean noodly, the first record?
Noodly noodly noodly. Noodly noodly noodly.
AKA the first record.
Noodly noodly noodly.
What do you know about Lawn Boy?
What do you know about Aculas, bro? What do you know about Lawn Boy? What do
you
know about in a maze, dude?
You guys are talking about the only year of this music that I'm familiar with.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, the
just
book. You know
time.
The Helping Friendly book?
The Helping Friendly book?
He wrote the fucking book.
Right. Game Hinge,
I'm
dude.
I'm saying this is the only part of this band I know about. Because somehow, like, after high school, there was all this great music coming out, but my friends wanted to listen to that.
Yeah.
Well, that was great music in that moment.
Okay, Noodley.
Okay, good. Accept that it's in the moment, though, a little bit.
Oh, dude, 100%. Okay, I mean, right. Like, there are moments as someone who plays bass and played in a trippy hippie
Don't
jam band since I was a fucking, junior in high school.
Yeah.
Like, listening to Mike Gordon like play bass lines, and like I went to school when I saw Phish for many years, and then I just stopped. Phish school. I was just like, I'm done.
And Bone Sober every concert, right?
Bone Sober.
Bone Sober, right?
Every concert.
There, I have a book to recommend.
Dude.
It is called You Don't Know Me, But You Don't Like Me, I believe is the name of the book. And it is about this reporter who followed around for like a couple years, Phish Heads. And also Juggalos.
Oh, nice.
And I loved this book because I'm also like kind of a low-key ICP fan a little bit too. I like it all.
I've seen them four times. No big deal.
I would love to see ICP live. I've never seen ICP live.
It's just
live.
You just go home with your clothes drenched.
Covered in fake.
Down
right?
Clown.
And feeling,
down
yeah.
clown.
I'm down with the clown, down for life, yo. But
they were fun though.
Yeah. And this whole book though was fascinating because it really just gets into the whole cult subculture for each of these things. And they both are things that people, you know, follow these bands, and it's more about the lifestyle and everything. But I couldn't imagine it. My brother's far more of a Phish Head than I. Like new dates get posted and he's like talking about it. So I'm like, I don't.
Yeah.
I'm like, we'll go. Because he came into town, we went and saw a couple nights of one of their Madison Square Garden runs like a few years ago. And
so
that was fun.
So if Phish has New Year's Eve, then the Juggalos would have to have like 4th of July,
Juggalos
right?
Juggalos have Halloween.
Oh, they get Halloween.
They
do a big Halloween show, I believe. Okay. And they also have The Gathering.
I would like, which is at Cave in Rock, Illinois.
It's a
different spot all the time.
Oh, okay.
But one of The Gathering of the Juggalos was there and the like... Down where the Mississippi floods in Illinois a lot.
The Gathering is this thing that I've always
just shows it was when I was
I'm trying to think of the 19. Overlap of Jugheads and
well there's a thing that's just for like
and fish
hippies
heads,
and
fish heads and jugglers.
Crazy people who go off and like kind of go to the cult style there's
the
a place called the
intersection
gathering
is people with fucked
that's
up
not
jeans.
Gathering of the Juggalos
people
it's,
with baggy fucked up
yeah,
jeans
yeah,
that's
yeah,
the intersection
yeah, that's
of those
it.
Two of those two subcultures
well because one actually
well, one has patchwork on the sides
and one has embroidery.
The tough thing about Phish is at first you start listening to Phish and going to shows and you're like, this is amazing, and then it gets really surprisingly like snooty really fast. Like, you don't know 93 Chicago.
This is like sketch comedy.
It's just at like sketch comedy. Like, wow, it's this open thing. I can just dance freely and I don't have to like be self-conscious and it's this great community and everyone's love.
Rules start getting
and
imposed.
Then immediately
gatekeeping. A lot of gatekeeping.
It's like, you don't know this thing and you know what I mean? People just get really into the history and I remember I was at my brother's place in college and this guy just came over with just a spool of CDs, just Phish live CDs. He's just like, he's sitting idiots on the floor.
Cool DJ, dude, for your party. Yeah, I've got 17 different live Phish records for you. They're all not all of them are from the soundboard, though, so some of them sound like you're underwater.
I thought you were going to say a spool of copper wire and was proceeding to make his own...
How did you know? But that, or yes.
His own bomb? Are you bringing back bombs?
His own Bezos bomb. Speaking of spools of copper wire.
Yeah.
100%. I'm way off on this. And I mentioned it on the pod before too. But high frequency stock trading computers, we're going too quickly. You know, like most of the stock purchasing.
Sorry, hold on, we're talking about Phish. Make sure.
I need to bring you back.
I can see how this feeds.
I need to bring you back to the real world. Like most stock trading is done by computers now. Okay. Like computers are like people are too slow. They're like, and the computer has already done it.
Right.
So computers are doing it too quickly. The physical distance from Wall Street to New Jersey, where all the like financial firms have their shit, there's something called latency, which is just like, you know, how long it takes a signal to get there. So certain computers were getting there way too quickly. I sound like a Phish fan describing this, which I'm so
trying
proud
to get
of.
Me into Phish right now. Yeah.
The solution to latency was a giant ball of copper wire that simulated a longer distance between these two points.
So it bounces around the room that it's in.
I was going to say it's kind of like having a wolfman for a brother.
I'll let these reprobates bring it back. I swear to God, they had to slow down the internet with a ball of copper wire.
That's fascinating.
Like miles
honestly.
Long.
That is kind of insane. And also just like let the computers fucking take over on the stocks. Lord. Just let them do it. Then we freeze up a bunch of jobs. Yeah.
We solved it with such a cool primitive thing.
Right.
You know, Bezos needs that fucking eighth
infinity pool, man.
That's the thing, man. Who's going to build it? The stockbrokers.
What does he need it for?
He needs it for everything.
There are many more people starving than infinity pools.
He's going to buy four states entirely. That's my guess.
Do you think so? Which states? What are we talking about? Idaho?
I mean, I think he gets one up there. Maybe he does a two-for-one deal. He gets both Dakotas.
Both Dakotas. Oh, man, dude. And by the way, talk about a place where I've never been there, but I only hear people just be like, there's just nothing going on in North and South Dakota.
That is not true.
Holden, we just lost North and South Dakota on our listenership.
We never had them.
What's the dumbest state? What do you think the worst state is?
I mean, the joke is always Kentucky, right?
Florida.
Kentucky.
Florida.
I guess Florida's always... Yeah. Florida's terrible.
You betrayed your local resentment.
Because he's from Southern Ohio. He's like, what is...
Ohio gets it a lot. Yeah, too, but, though.
Well, I was going to say, I'm from Ohio, so
Jersey gets it a lot too.
Get that guff, but
really, I don't know. Ohio, I feel like, has Cincinnati's brutal.
Can we go a little back, Holden? Where are you?
My ex is from Ohio.
Yeah,
that's
where are you from, Holden?
I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina, but my mother was from Florida. I went to Florida State University, and my wife is from Jacksonville, so I hate Florida. But I keep getting pulled back in. It is the Godfather. It is every time I think I'm finally freed of the clutches of Florida.
It's like Spanish moss. It grows back on you.
Yes. I cannot get away from it. I'm just why? And North Carolina, I think, is fantastic. That's primo state. You got Asheville, you got the mountains,
Asheville's
the beach.
Amazing.
You know what I mean? It's like the New South.
You got Wilmington.
You got Greensboro, bro. You got barbecue.
Wait, where's Eastern Carolina? Greenville?
Ugh, who gives a shit, dude?
I've had a lot of fun in Greenville, North Carolina, playing music as
I saw fish there 17 times. I might as well.
I think Greenville's too small for fish.
Yeah, we saw him at the Re-Raw Bowl 2 weeks ago. Dad went to Hampton 1 year for fish. Did Hampton.
You went to the spaceship, man?
Yep.
What is Hampton?
Hampton's
What's
just
Hampton?
A big
it's
one
a big
of their regular
arena.
Shows. Yeah.
Is
big
that
arena.
A city or is that a place or is that the
no,
name
it's
of
in
a...
It's in Hampton Bay. No, it's in Virginia.
It's in Virginia?
By Virginia Beach. It's
I don't
Hampton.
Know. I didn't remember anything.
It's Hampton, Virginia.
Way so, yeah, no, I was completely out of my mind.
I love bone sober. That's a great saying.
Three things I have from Hampton. One, I broke my ankle and I was like 3 weeks out from getting like... my ankle fixed, kind of, and they're like, you can't like walk on it too much or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
right. I'll be fine.
Fish got back together. Yeah, they did those reunion shows. I was like, fuck it. Ate some LSD, like walked all over this ankle and like fucked it up for life.
Yeah.
That same run, my buddy didn't have tickets for one of the nights, and so we all like
jumped
over
the fence, bro.
Exactly, total. Like there were like 15 of us, and we were all kind of pushing through, and we just pushed them through. Security ran after him. My buddy tripped him.
Ah, man, fish fans are the worst. So what? Yeah,
like
how
exactly?
Many shows
like it's
did
such
you...
a bad. Like
wait, fish fans then, are the worst. What? They tripped then, the guard. Wait, what's wrong with that?
You know, I don't know. Just everything he's saying right now.
And the
walking
last
walking on
so,
a fucking fucked ankle on LSD.
Look,
you know,
what who does that?
He did it to himself.
Just, yeah, but that is such a fish fan. That is like quintessential.
Okay. So what happened was, so in 1998 and 1999, I did these.
You know, technology was worse back then.
Yeah, sure.
Technology was worse. It was much worse. I was doing, over the summer, I did did like a live show where they had like 98 degrees. And
we get it. You were on a like, sketch
I get
comedy
it,
show on
I get
television.
It, right,
311.
Right.
I know. I brought up earlier. Oh, yeah, I'm gonna be a little bit.
311 was.
I'm sorry, you brought up Jeff Ross. I'm bringing up all that, okay? It's very similar.
Jesus, God.
You're talking about the All That Music and More
All
Festival.
All That Music and More Festival.
Jeremy,
exactly.
As I was saying to Laura Keitlinger the other day over tea.
We were playing the same places that Fish was playing.
Right.
And so we overlapped once, and I met and befriended the head of security for them. And he like hooked me up for
hey, you're
years.
The, you're the I thought guy, you were gonna say like
you're the guy who tripped me.
No, I met
you're
yeah,
the guy
no,
who
met
tripped
all.
Me when your
I met,
friend
I mean
won.
Like I met them all. Like they were not like I got a all access pass for tours
you
and stuff.
You gotta meet all of them.
And I was like
you met Trey?
Like 16 to 29.
Was this during Trey's like bad pill years though?
Yeah.
Was he whacked out?
Before it, out of it. He was nice enough. Every time I met him, he was with it.
Without it.
But because my friends knew that I knew their head of security.
Of course.
Sometimes they would pull shit and get in trouble, and then they would drop my name to the security guard being like, look, I know, you know,
Right.
I'm with Tamborelli, and he knows Lango, and like,
right.
What are you know,
Lango,
yeah. Bro? Now everybody exactly. knows. That's now, I
not,
can say
now
it.
He's not. Now he's I not there anymore.
It doesn't matter.
Anymore.
I can say I used to know Lango.
No, he's good. Yeah, a lot of people used to know Lango.
Yeah, he died trying to suck his own dick, so it's not.
My what? Aunt.
That's what we call the Lango.
Wait, yeah. are you the new security for Fish?
Wait, this gets better.
When he stares at you, it's called the Langoliers.
Dude,
love that movie.
Deep cut.
So
love that movie.
At Hampton. The guitar player and best man at my fucking wedding, Matt DiStano,
you just said hi to.
Sneaks,
never heard of him.
Sneaks around the back of Hampton and is like kind of like wetlands area and manages to get all the way backstage.
Wow.
Because he didn't have a ticket and he was trying to get in, and like a bunch of people, like it just like they swarm the side or whatever. And like he finds himself like directly backstage.
Wow.
And like turns around and there's John Langenstein. He's like, no pass, no nothing. Like this fucking kid. Like
which one's John Langenstein?
Is the he was
Lango,
the former,
bro. He's
former
Lango.
Head of
he's
security.
Lango. He's the guy I know. That's why he's my
Langolier. Yeah, he's the Langolier. Yeah, he's the guy everybody.
He's like what are you doing here? And like the only thing Matt could be like, he's like
swimming.
Danny.
He's like my best friend is Tamborelli, and like he's just like. I don't give a fuck. Like, you're backstage. Get the fuck out. I kicked his ass right
George
out.
Washington's my great-grandfather, dude.
Like, just don't name-drop people that, you know, it's like,
Danny,
second-hand name-dropping.
He had Danny a Hail Mary,
all,
though.
He has an all-access pass.
It was a Hail Mary. What else are you going to do?
What else are you going to do at that point?
He has an all-access pass with 10 holes punched in it, because that's, like, every time his friends fucked up and right. dropped his name. And when the 10th hole gets punched, it's like, you don't get it anymore.
How many Fish shows... Did you, and on a single run, have you been to, Danny?
On a single run?
Yeah. Like, did you ever travel
on a
with
tour?
Yeah. Probably like six, seven.
So nothing
like,
to...
Until the drugs ran out.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly. Until Shakedown Street went dry, right?
I have many, many crazy experiences.
Yeah.
As a teenager... doing psychedelics and being underage and like getting in trouble with the cops and them not knowing what to do because you're underage and they're just kind of like,
right.
Oh, fuck.
Like, right.
Do we got to call your mom? Like, what do we do?
I'm recalling a certain evening outside of Fenway Park in Boston, Massachusetts.
That was later in life. That was later in life.
I want to hear this, though.
Danny,
it's not a great story.
It's on an older episode of our podcast where Danny is going to watch a
fish show. I got arrested for drinking
show.
In public right. outside of Yawkey Way.
That's it?
That's really not nothing.
How do we make a whole episode out
right,
of
that?
The whole episode happened off
How do we make a whole episode?
Well, because I could spin it into a way that was, you know, mildly... interesting, but at the end of the day, I had a backpack full of weed.
I was
going to
say it's a 15-minute meditation on Jansports
and like 24 beers. And the guy's like, "I'm going to go through this bag and take out all of your beers, or I'm going to write you this ticket now, and you're going to go back to your car and put that bag back there." Like, do you want me to check the bag? And I was like, "No, I don't want you to check the bag." "No, it's like this is like good." I think I said like this is good craft beer. Like, you can't take it from me.
At this point, he was a grown-ass man. It's not, it's not like he was, you know, a newbie.
This is older.
That's good.
Jeremy, haven't you sassed out a cop at some point about the alcohol content of your beer, like crossing into Kentucky, being like, this is 4.6. You can't touch me.
But near Kentucky, I almost got contributing to the delinquency of a minor because I was about ready. Basically, we went to a teen dance club. I've talked about it on this podcast.
Oh, God.
A teen dance club, which is under 21.
How old were you?
Probably 21.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so my friends were like, no, that's where the babes are going. And it's like, all right, let's go to this. And we went in, and it's like...
beginning a troubling
pattern. That's where the jail girls are.
It's just like any, like, Christian potluck that you've ever been to. Same sort of idea.
You bring food and get pregnant?
Not the pregnancies. Did you get somebody pregnant at a potluck?
Yeah, what happened?
No, it's just how I envisioned them.
Okay.
Do you know how much sex went on at
youth
groups?
I've never been to one. Yeah.
Oh my God, dude. Yes.
I've never been to one, so I assume it's like abstinence only until you just fuck, and then you get pregnant the first time.
Well, and then they do, but they do the butt time stuff.
Work it.
Right? And that's how they get out of it.
Anyway, point being is I almost got arrested for contributing because we went out to the car to drink a beer because it was a fucking teen club and they didn't serve
and
beer.
And what? They were watching?
There was a cop on the other side.
They were staking out the parking lot?
And I just went,
Wait, you drove around, to go? Oh,
and
gosh.
I went to the car, got in the car, turned it on, listened to music. You know, it's like you don't do that shit when you're...
Right.
You just don't turn the car on, you'll be all right. But so I almost got DUI contributing. They had this 17-year-old kid in the back of the cop car. Oh, and then all of a sudden, magically, the cops get something on the radio and was like... Oh, I gotta go put the beers away.
That's the best. One time, I didn't end up getting caught, which is unbelievable. We were on the boardwalk right outside of this like beach bar with a. We got someone to get us a 12-pack
on
of
the Outer Banks.
Beer. This was in Sunset Beach, North Carolina. My parents had like a timeshare beach house situation there for a while, so I'm with my buddy, and we got somebody to get us a 12-pack of beer. We're just standing under a light. On a boardwalk, drinking, just totally underage, like 16, 17, just very underage, drinking out of a 12-pack of beer. People are like, that's dumb, man. You probably shouldn't do that. We're like, whatever, man. We rule this school. We rule this beach world. And then this guy comes out. He's like undercover cop. And he's just like, can I see your ID? And then the whole time I'd been purchasing cigarettes with my brother's old ID, like expired ID, and I'm like, I know how to get out of this one. And I just slyly hand him my brother's expired ID. He's just like, and I will be keeping this, and what is your actual ID? Like, it's just every mistake in the book. And then we got him to drive us back home so we knew where we were staying, but we got him to not wake my parents up somehow.
Awesome.
And then we were supposed to have, it was such a weird situation. We were supposed to have my parents call him the next day and like find out what we, how we fucked up. And then I just called him on the phone the next day and just pleaded with him with all my heart and soul. And he just was like cool with it.
Whoa.
And I don't think he was a cop. No, I'm just, I don't know. I don't mean, he was undercover, so we were just
he
like,
was it. "Are but you I really just, a cop?" He brought you he to the place. Two nights later, that place was vandalized.
It was raided,
and there was a break and enter there.
Raided and vandalized.
Yeah, I just can't. I could. It's one of those childhood things where, like, I can't believe I got away with that,
dude.
Like, why I got away with so many ridiculous scenarios like that.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watching on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Where it was just like, I remember I was my buddy and I, like, I swear my dad saw us. I think it was one of those days that he came home early and we were just loading up a giant bong and we were about to smoke it and we saw like the car move, pull in the driveway and we're like running up the stairs. And I was on crutches. I'd just gotten into a bad car accident. And so I'm like trying to like hurry up the stairs and crutches with the bong. I went up ahead of my friend though up the stairs who had the bong in his hand. So of course I'm like not fast going up the stairs. And I think my dad did see, and he's just like, now I look back and I'm like, he just totally went like, I don't want to fucking deal with this shit today. I'm just gonna act like I didn't see this shit. Cause he probably wanted to pour his fucking Jack and Coke and fucking kick it.
When did you start playing in bands?
Honestly, middle school, probably around sixth grade, I started playing in bands. Actually, our first band was called Varanus, which is the genus of the monitor lizard, because my buddy was like a big lizard enthusiast. He had like a room full of lizards.
Doors sort of kind of band.
I was thinking the same thing.
It was like, I guess, grunge, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it was sort of, I remember our song went, "Will you entertain us?" I think we were trying to be Nirvana a little bit. It was like, "Will you entertain us?"
Yeah, yeah.
And then this was our
Here
other
we
song.
We are now entertainers. Here,
yeah, yeah, there you go. And then the next song we had, this is our big hit, was Comfortable Chair. And it was about this inflatable chair that we like to sit in. And my buddy's house was, "I want to sit in a comfortable chair because it's made out of air. I want to sit in a comfortable chair. Kick back, it just don't care."
Yeah, man.
Right. And then in high school, we all fell in love with Red Hot Chili Peppers. And right. And
it happens to the best of them.
Right. And we went full, funk rock. Right. And we changed our name to Lemon of Troy, which is the Simpsons episode where they steal the
lemon tree
from Shelbyville. That's the actual formal title of that episode. So we also love the Simpsons.
Shake Harder, boy.
There's nothing but me and that lemon shaped rock. Oh, wait, there's a lemon behind that rock. Rocky 6 plus Rocky. What was it? Rocky 3 plus Rocky 9. Rocky 12. Adrian's Revenge. Yeah, that's what it was. I used to quote that episode so much. That's like one of the most quotable episodes of The Simpsons, like a joke a second in that one. But yeah, and we were, I was always the weakest link, which was fun. I mean, I had a really high voice and I was trying to be like, but it's especially bad because I was trying to do that like funk rock rap thing.
Yeah.
We did do a damn good cover of Sabotage.
Okay.
That was like kind of a bit of our claim to fame, but we disbanded, of course, after that. And then,
after one of our members slept with all of our members' moms.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, the sexy one. And we and then I wasn't in another band till the Cowmen until I came up here. So
did you play like locally in high school? Like,
I remember doing
a band
like
that, like played in bars but had X's on your hands if you're underage.
I remember doing like a couple of like house gigs. I remember doing like a coffee shop or something here or there. We didn't do a ton of live shows. We definitely cut a record though. I wish I had it for you guys because it's so embarrassing. I have both, and my buddy has a Varanus CD too. We cut a record.
Yes.
We did like three songs, and it is so, my voice is so high pitched, and it is so embarrassing. And he plays it to embarrass me. Like, he'll put it on randomly when I'm hanging out with a group of people.
You could reissue it now as Varanus.
Varanus, and make it a virtual reality sim where you're listening to music and you're going through someone's butthole.
It's a collab with Tom from Radiohead.
Yeah, it's a colon app.
It's a
It'll be in the asshole of Tom York.
Tom York's colonoscopy.
And it's a soundtrack to a P.T. Anderson movie, unofficial, right? Well, we'll just pick a Master. It's this unofficial soundtrack to Master, has a virtual reality component, and it's literally just that EP that we recorded back in seventh grade.
We have a few segments here on the show. I'd just like to burn through them real quick.
Sure.
Billion Dollar Idea.
Okay.
I just came up with one.
Go for it.
Jeremy?
Hit me.
Jeremy,
go for it.
You know how there's like the Rainforest Cafe?
Sure. I got the notebook out. This is the official Billion Dollar Idea notebook. So I hope it's good.
Okay. So the fish food.
So far, so court. Good.
Fish food court. Okay. That sounds like you've had that prepared for quite a while.
No.
Oh, you just gave up.
Noodly.
Fish food.
It's
court.
A long elevator for the pitch. I'm adjusting for altitude because we're going up to like the 105th floor.
We're like a fucking Willy Wonka elevator right now. Yeah, yeah, we're flying through space right now, dude. We don't even know if we're going to get back.
I read all those fucking things, and Quentin Crisp made those books so much better with his illustrations.
Right.
The guy who just like, he drew the witches just so, and
yes,
he drew Charlie just so.
New witches coming out, which is weird.
Oh, yeah, remake?
There's a new witch. I don't think they should. That's one that I feel like they should just leave alone. Yeah.
Interesting.
I think Anne Hathaway is playing the witch.
Wow.
The lead witch.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
There's a new Clue coming, too. Speaking of...
What?
Redos.
I love Clue.
What about Tim Curry?
Yeah, I'm sure it's not. It's going to be Seth Curry, probably from the NBA.
Oh, my God.
Steph Curry and Seth Curry.
Yeah, both. Yeah, they're going to stack together to form one Tim Curry.
Good Lord. No, what are they even doing?
Side by side.
Basketball players in there.
Because they're small. No. I would just wanted to say that some of the other ideas in here are things like an old book scented e-reader. Just squirts out.
Did you write down?
Unfortunately, I did. I put
a fish
food
court. What is it, though, man? Yeah. You can't just say three fucking words.
It's like noodly, 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 noodly. It's like those theme. It's like those theme restaurants.
Oh, it's Fish the Band. I'm sorry. I thought
of you guys. You guys are my target audience. If it didn't work on you,
okay, please, yeah, sell me on this. Sell me on this.
Jesus.
Okay.
Hey, man, what is this fucking idea you got, man?
The fish food court. The fish food court consists of grilled cheese, garlic grilled cheese. Ganja Goo Balls.
Okay, and Ganja Goo Balls.
Here's my guy. Thank you.
Gotcha.
It's just a food court.
All the Shakedown Street. It's all the Shakedown. Burritos.
Food court. Yeah, definitely burritos.
That might have to go in the $100 notebook.
Let me just say that Fish made multi-millions of dollars last year.
They have a huge following.
And you know how much the economy of the lot is? A couple million, I guess.
Maybe.
Do not care.
Bro, you just blew your only chance to say a cool million.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that.
A cool million.
We're going to hear Fish's, I'm going to guess, their music while maybe
of
they'll
course. Exactly.
perform.
Exactly.
This is the thing. If you got them in on it, if you got them to maybe
the stamp of authenticity. If you get
Chris Kuroda to do the lights.
Yeah. Oh, fifth member of the band.
CK5, bro.
To really get the stamp, the seal of authenticity, we're going to have Lango do security for the whole thing.
Yeah, we're going to pull Lango back from the dead. Lango's going to come out there.
Oh, God.
And if you want to order from the secret menu, you have to say, I know Lango.
And then they'll give you that extra sauce. CBD sauce.
Guys, it's very good.
It turns out it is a billion dollars.
What we can say about this is that it affected the way we grew up.
Right.
And if you did that stuff as teenagers,
you should both get your
endocrine systems checked. It also made you just feel like you could do pretty much anything you wanted.
Right.
Like Jounce, when we were in high school, because we've been in a band since high school.
Yeah. Like Bezos with money.
We used to play this bar
and music
in Jersey underneath Route 80 called the Underpass, ironically enough.
Oh, God.
And catty corner to the building was the police department for the town. And so people would park in the parking lot across the street directly next to the police department. We were underage, and we would fucking get hammered there and play because we were like a jam band, local jam band kids. We got there like three or four times before the owner got hip to the fact that we were fucking underage and bringing underage people into his bar. And so like he would have to like open the show being like, if anyone is drinking underage, I'm going to have to pull the pluggy. You know what I mean? So my friends got hip to that.
He's
so they would just
guys.
Go. Yeah. He was like, hey, man, we got tons of soft drinks and blah, blah, blah for you. But if I catch you drinking underage, I'm pulling the plug on this band. Which was actually cool because he let a bunch of kids into a fucking bar scene and like
so then
we were
they
able to have
outside.
A place.
Then they would go outside and do it, get it on the
so
black
we would
market.
Go,
right.
No, so we would go outside into situations. The fucking parking lot across the street
get it from
next
a
to
beer
the police
dealer.
Department. Yeah. And we would get fucking hammered in that parking lot, like drinking like it wasn't a problem because we thought in our fucking stupid kid mind, we were like, it's right next to the police station. They'll never think to look for us here.
This is the original story treatment for the movie Copland.
We got this, man. Like we're in their territory. They're comfortable here. They're not looking for us.
Were you in Patterson?
Next door.
Where? Settlebrook.
Saddle River. Sorry.
I totally know where that is.
Yeah.
Saddlebrook.
It's not Upper Saddle River. It's Saddlebrook.
Did you get busted?
Not really. A couple DUIs. I mean, it was.
Stupid.
No, I know. But the DUIs were for later down the road. And it weren't for me, but friends.
Friends. Oh, yeah, dude.
And then that under 21 DUI really screws you up.
Oh, my God, dude. And just how many times. And it's so embarrassing to remember. I mean, thank God for Uber now. And now I can just, God willing, if I have kids and someone, I can just raise them on the Uber. Like, just keep the car where it's at.
Oh, if you get
no
wasted.
No explanation necessary.
Yeah.
Just call the fucking Uber, dude. Do not fuck around. But back in the day, we were driving drunk.
It's in high school. It makes me feel sick to my stomach. Oh my God.
With respect, we were also smoking next to pregnant women.
Yes.
And, like, babies had cigarettes at that point.
Exactly. They would, like, put you up
against. We did a lot of dumb and fucked up
stuff. They'd have you blow the smoke into the vagina.
Into the belly button, in my case, because my family was Catholic.
Right, of course.
We never.
You overheard your parents' stories, like, my dad being like, yeah, my buddy, you know, Gary and I were so fucking wasted that I forgot. We stopped at a red light on our motorcycles and I forgot to put my foot down and I fell over on my bike.
Oh my God.
I was like, oh,
that's
right.
Just fine.
Like, cool, Dad.
You're hilarious, Jimmy, or whatever the fuck your dad's. But yeah, man, that's tough. Yeah, I was a bit of a hellion, you know what I mean? I definitely fucking took some, you know, had some mushrooms or whatever in my day or whatever, fucking jerked off or whatever, you know what I mean? I fucked around.
Whoa! It's hard. It's hard to do psychedelics and jerk off.
That's always the weird thing to me when people are like...
Hard truths.
We hit mushrooms and then we had a sexual experiment. I'm like,
no!
What?
No!
The last thing I want is my, like, weird squirty squirt to touch their flappy flap and all of a sudden I'd just be like, oh my God, I just feel, you know what I mean?
Bro, I think that was actually a Ween bootleg. Squirty squirt and flappy flap.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's from New Hope. I feel like the Ween fish crossover
thing, yeah,
could exist.
They did because fish covers.
Yes.
Roses are free.
Okay. Classic. I had that on. Is that on the Hampton Comes Alive? Five disc box set.
Probably.
You know what the most annoying?
Hampton Comes Alive, not the 95.
Not the 90. You know what? You know what's annoying? I think the most annoying jam band fan group though is the
Rusted Root. Sorry.
No, but yes, they weren't quite a jam band. I was gonna say String Cheese Incident.
Salute to the Rusted Root people.
String Cheese Incident.
I've opened for Rusted Root before.
Yeah, you guys are
really?
Awesome.
Yeah, Michael Glabicki's a cool
fucking
dude.
Hands down.
They're great. Put them
down.
They're a great band.
I can't stand that song. That song makes me so.
Well, that's my go-to.
Let me know when you open for the Gypsy Kings.
When somebody says, "Hey,
there," I will go if he opens for the Gypsy Kings.
I saw probably 8 or 9 String Cheese shows in a row when Fish was taking a break my first year
of
college, and I
went
right down the East Coast.
That's why kids go from smoking cigarettes to vaping, actually.
Yes.
It's exactly the same thing.
That's a perfect analogy.
It's a bridge. It's like a bridge addiction.
You either went String Cheese or you went Widespread.
I like Widespread, but being up in the Northeast, they don't come around a lot. They stick down to
Atlanta.
Ain't Live Great. I mean, I can sing it.
That's a good song, though, man.
Dude, they make great records.
Yeah, but all that shit gets fucking boring.
String Cheese is super boring, and it was the only reason I liked that band was because I'd like to think that I could beat the shit out of their bass player.
Right. All of them.
No, well, there's some good.
Cool
there are some
sport.
Good.
The drummer knows a little Taekwondo, I think.
Yeah,
right?
Travis.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate that.
I know their names.
Yeah.
Fuck off, man.
Yeah, man.
I'm having a really hard time.
I actually met him at the dojo, so I know that he can't.
I'm having a really hard time remaining friends with you right now, man.
No, don't.
I never thought this would be a jam band episode, to be
completely
honest.
Yeah, I love that.
Congratulations, yeah.
It's that thing from my past that, like, I would still go to a Fish concert today, but it is sort of embarrassing a little bit. You know
what
I mean?
It's like Zima or a fanny pack.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's from your youth. You're embarrassed about it, but now it's back again.
It wouldn't bother me so much if all of my friends who are pushing 40 years old are, like, still, like, avid fans that, like, spend thousands of dollars on the band and then bitch about not having any money.
Right.
And I'm like,
you
what
have
the
mentioned
fuck?
This. You have mentioned this before.
Yeah.
Yeah. My
That's
my
opinion.
My brother's
in confidence.
He'll kind of go all out for the if he's got a buddy who, if he gets enthusiastic about doing like a 3-night run, like he'll end up maybe going on that. He is in his 40s.
But does
which
he
is
have
unbelievable.
A, does he have a job that he could just fuck off from?
He has a good work at home job. Dude, everybody needs to get that work. Everybody who has like a 9-to-5 needs to figure out the work at home thing because your whole life changes.
Yes.
Your whole fucking life becomes better if you're a 9-to-5.
Your metabolism improves, I'm
everything.
Sure,
everything
right?
gets better. I mean, you need to be taking vitamin D and things like that, of course, but like, you know, you just get to do the thing that you had to pretend to, you know, whatever. You just don't have to pretend to work for half your day.
You're in your undies.
Yeah, you're in your underwear. And you know what? If you get your work done, there's no boss to be like, well, you need to then start pretending to work or I'll be mad at you. Right. No, you take a nap. You fuck off. You play a video game. You work on your passion.
Yeah.
You study a foreign language. You
He's
know what
right,
I mean?
You know.
Yeah.
He's right.
It's crazy. I'm reading this book right now called Bullshit Jobs. It's all about bullshit jobs and how like half the country or not half.
Oh,
the country,
so it's not just a clever name.
No. Yeah, right. It's but how so many people, and I was like this before. I thank God I got to leave my shitty 9-to-5 like a couple years ago now. But you know, I spent most of my day pretending to work. Mm-hmm. You know, but there's no way to be creative in an office. It's impossible. They drain it. It's like a Dementors, but for, you know, creativity. Wow. You know what I mean? You can't be creative. I tried to write like pilot scripts in the office. It's like you're dead. You just start writing number. You just start typing numbers and you're like, I haven't written it. You know, you look back, it's like The Shining or something. You just realize you wrote in fucking ones and zeros.
Binary code for a good half hour.
I've written at the watering cooler. Because I wanted to write at the water cooler.
Interior. Watering cooler. Day.
I keep writing watering because I need some oxygen and air.
And they're not, they're purposely depriving it of you so you don't realize that you could do something better. By the way, too, one of the most annoying things about working in office, if they do find out, God forbid, that you do something like comedy outside of it, is like, oh no. I bet you're going to write some funny skits about here. And I just want to be like, the opposite.
Nothing funny.
Nothing good happened. Everybody here is the same as every other office I've ever worked.
Whoa.
You're all the same trope of people. Like, you're all the same thing.
With respect, North Carolina does have a lot of faceless office parks.
Yes, that is true.
A lot. I feel like you get more inspiration going to work and coming back from work. Just on the subway alone.
People you deal with.
Other than doing a desk job for 8 hours.
Well, we get the benefit, the luxury of experiencing other people in the subway. Most people get into
like
their
free
car
content. Yeah.
And they just
and listen
sit
to
isolation.
A lovely podcast like The Adventures of Danny and Mike. Or do you have any plugs?
Or I would say they probably listen to, I'm going to go with Hoist maybe, or probably Maze.
Is that M-A-S-E?
This has been the fish bootleg hour.
Gotta get out of this maze.
If you want to listen to a good podcast, it's called Under the Scales of Tom Marshall.
You know, maybe one of the Halloween shows. Under they the... covered that Talking Heads album that one time.
They covered Loaded.
I want to see
Velvet Underground.
I want
98.
To see the fish fans show up at Insane Clown Posse show, not knowing what they're
I would love to. Oh my God, to trick both fan communities
to swap.
Do a full audience swap and just see the reaction.
This could be the other $1 billion.
Do you know
dollar
all the
idea.
Babies? Do you know all idea. The babies? That's like when the Italians and Irish met in New York.
Yes,
they hated each other, but they fucked a lot.
Here's me.
That's me too.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah.
Perfect. Other podcasts. Check out Wizard and the Bruiser. And Page 7 was the Bruiser, nerd history, research-based comedy podcast. We talk about different things. Right now we're doing the history of Lego. We do like anime shows. We do video games. We do comic books. You know, you name it. We'll just pick a subject every week and try to cover the shit out of it and talk about it for like an hour and 10 minutes or so.
You get prompted by fan suggestions? Or you
Yes,
guys,
we
do.
We
decide.
Actually, we kind of made the mistake to a certain point of opening up a $50 Patreon tier for people to give episode requests. We've had to limit that now because we have a backlog of episode requests, and some of them are like a really obscure anime show that I'm like, I don't know.
On the
if
other
I can...
hand, you do have a solid gold house and a rocket car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we do that.
It's tough. It's tough to balance that working from home and your solid gold house.
Exactly.
Is really rough.
I don't mean to undercut you, but here are The Adventures of Danny and Mike. If you dial 347-470-8150. You can leave us a message and we'll get back to you.
We might even call you.
We might even call you back.
We might even call you after you left us a message and call
because
you repeatedly
when you call
because
us,
you don't pick up.
Because when you call us, we get your number.
Right.
Yeah, it's still like that. They haven't changed it yet.
Also do Page 7, which is a pop history or a pop culture podcast, but we added on another version called Pop History. Right now we're doing the history of Prince. We did Mariah Carey. We take a subject in pop culture and we'll cover that. So it's kind of like the Wizard and the Bruiser format.
How does Morris Day and the Time figure into the Prince?
Morris Day and the Time was coming together around Purple Rain. They're, of course, in Purple Rain.
They are.
Disbanded not too long after that.
Really?
Yeah, they had some issues for sure. I think it was like Prince had a shitload of just side projects that he was doing. And, you know, so the Time became the Family, which then members from the Family, when that group disbanded, became essentially his band.
His backing band.
Yeah. So the
Jesse.
The After the Revolution. So Jesse was, well, which one?
The guitarist.
The guitarist Yeah, so that would, I think, be post-Revolution. The Revolution was the original band where you had the two women, Lisa and I'm not going to remember off the top of my head because I'm terrible with names, but you had the keyboardist and the guitarist.
You're supposed to just say a name, and you're supposed to say, I hate that you know her name. I hate that.
It's not Sheila E.
I hate that you know her name.
It was Sheila E.
It was not Sheila E. Sheila E. was the drummer. And they had sex. He had sex with a lot of...
I heard he was a big Christian, though.
He did. Well, he was very religious.
Sorry, if you want to listen to their episode.
Yeah, this is great. This actually helps you. You know, if you're curious about this, go check out Pop History. We're recording part three of Prince tomorrow, which hopefully will be the end of it. And he became a Jehovah's Witness later on in his career, around the time when he changed his name to The Symbol. Around the time he changed his name back to Prince from the symbol. He changed his name to The Symbol to fuck with Warner Brothers, his record label.
Let's have Prince cover band. Uh-huh. Let's have a Prince cover band called From the Symbol.
From the Symbol.
Okay.
We can spell it both ways.
I'm not going to put that in the book.
You spell it like a symbol on a drum kit.
Yes. There you go.
I like it.
I say we do a Prince cover band and we'll weirdly call it Fish Food Court.
Oh, I think
it'd be kind of fun, right? Just to confuse people.
Dude, we take every Fish song and we put...
Distill it.
No, excuse me. Other way around. We take every Prince song and we play them in the genre of Fish.
Including all the stuff in the vault?
Right, all the stuff in the vault, dude. Every B-side. Or, now I just thought
Sexy
about it.
Sexy motherfucker.
That's so awful. I hate that idea.
It could be. It's 30 minutes like everyone. Yeah.
Or Fish Food Court is our cover band for Fish. But it's all food version.
Like,
gotta get out of this glaze.
Oh, like a
gotta get out of this glaze.
The Weird Al Yankovic food album.
It's the Burgers Brother.
This is fair.
Burgers Brother. You know what I mean?
I like it.
Holden, you're striking sparks. I like how this happens.
I don't spark joy. I spark annoy. I just annoy the fucking piss out of people.
My son has collected like 10, 8, 5. At least like 8 frisbees, and they are all his cymbals in the drum set. And nice. I tried to like take one away and play it myself. He goes, "Daddy, don't take my cymbals." And they're like double stacked. I'm like, "You can't even see the one underneath." God. And it's still like crucial to every structure.
So you just hate him now because of that? Or?
No. I'm gonna make my own.
We gotta
cover
get
band.
Him a tiny little kit, man. Get him a little junior
kit. Get him a little kit. Oh, the best thing you can do is give a small child a drum kit. As
he
built
it.
You could
he built it himself. He's really having. He's having a lot of fun, you know, with the DIY.
That's awesome.
Fierce DIY ethos.
That's like amazing.
Ethos.
Yeah.
Fierce DIY ethos.
I couldn't imagine building my own
drum
kit.
His son went through being each character from Traveling Wilburys.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. He had like a 2-week Roy Orbison period. He's had like a 4-year Tom Petty thing.
Hell yeah.
And he's only 3 years old.
That's incredible. Dude.
Oh, yeah. What's his name this week?
Dylan, dude.
Dylan
was in the Burrys.
I know, but he's got like a Latin American like all of your ancestors' name right now. It's Tom Petty, Garbage Can, House, Winnie the Pooh, Candle, Koala, Frisbee. He named himself that.
Wow. So he's having a bit of like an identity thing. He's sort of
always
dealing with that.
He's always loved Tom Petty, but But for then he was like, "Don't talk to me. Don't call me Gerard. I am Bob Dylan. I am George Harrison. Wow. Today I'm George Harrison."
Dude, that's a good day. Get George. That's a good day.
Oh yeah,
it's a good day.
Oh, yeah, for
died
sure.
in Staten Island. I always love to bring people down. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, he died fucking hard, man. Prince died. A bunch of people died. Dude.
Oh yeah, didn't he die in the air?
Prince
was in a plane when he died, right?
Yeah, he died in his fucking record studio or recording studio, exactly where you think he would die, bro.
Oh, sorry.
Fucking behind the knobs, bro.
Is that
for
real?
Was just a prompt.
Yeah. Dead
just a
serious.
Prompt. Well, that would be
Park
a good
Studios.
Cover.
Dead
that'd
serious.
That would be a good cover band too. Behind the knobs.
That would
behind
be the only
knobs.
Time
behind the knobs.
From the symbol and behind the knobs.
Yeah.
That's what the only way Fish breaks up is when one of them dies.
Oh, well, and then they'll just fucking animatronic.
It's a tontaine.
Fish will become like a Chuck E. Cheese style animatronic concert show.
Are you familiar with
For sure.
Are you familiar with a tontaine?
What's a tontaine?
That's like when everybody takes an oath together and then whoever is the last surviving person claims it's the fighting hellfish.
Oh yeah. Tontaine.
Of course.
Yeah, definitely. They're definitely going to replace Fish fully with robots and
Chuck E. Cheese, I love.
I almost want to take a bet with you as to who would even notice. In the audience, if they were robot, like I don't think anyone, everybody would just be like,
That's who plays.
So fucking out of it, man.
That's how we're able to franchise the fish food court, is with robots and all the. It's actually like Chuck E. Cheese, but for grown up stoners.
And they'll think it's real. Yeah. They'll know it's real.
We're going to take market share from Dave and Buster's until they crumble.
Oh, my God, dude. I can't wait to take down Dave. Dave's cool.
But Buster's, he's had it coming for a while.
I'm glad we agree on this.
Thanks, Holden. This has been awesome, man.
Are we already almost done?
I have no idea. I just love giving wind-ups and stuff like that. Bringing moods.
Other than your podcast stuff, your Twitter and all, what other social stuff do you want to
share? Twitch.tv/HoldenatorsHo. I stream on Twitch. I stream Monday night. We do cocktails or Creepshow creations. Either my friend Carly comes over, we do paintings and sell the paintings and hang out, or my buddy comes over with a different cocktail recipe every other Monday, and we just get hammered and just show people how to make the cocktail, and then end up doing karaoke for like $10 a pop. And that's how we kind of make our nut. And then Tuesday night, we do the marriage test.
People pay you to do karaoke.
To do karaoke. Yeah, absolutely. But that's, you know, but we've been entertaining them the whole time. You know what I mean? And then they're just like, oh, here's a fucking, you know, fuck you, you know, whatever, and throw some money.
Fuck you money is the best kind.
And Tuesday night, we do the marriage test. My wife and I sit down, and I'm trying to get her through Dark Souls, which is a classically difficult game to play.
That video game?
Yes. She's like halfway through that video game, which is kind of incredible.
She's
so
grinding a lot.
She's grinding it out. And we're grinding a lot, too. We've been having sex, dude, which is pretty fucking great. I'll tell you that, man. When you
on
got
the
a wife,
stream, I think you could probably get banned from Twitch right away.
Definitely can. There's that one video that one guy was fucking jerking it right before he thought he was live. You can't see his penis. But
thank God,
he can see the look on his face.
He's just sort of like a big guy. He's like laying back there. He's just like, oh, and you just see him do. You know, you can tell he's doing it. And then he's just like sitting there, and then oh, hey,
welcome to Twitch.
Yeah, like just realized he went live. But it's also like, dude, that's where you jerk. I never jerk off in front of the two cameras.
No.
And that'd be like jerking off in this room or something. It'd be a nightmare.
It's not like Jeremy's ever done that.
You've never done that.
Mm. No.
But you definitely do that.
Just for your sake. No sex, no JOs.
Gross.
No,
for the listener, we're all dabbing hand sanitizer right now.
But I'm not dabbing because
we're not dabbing. That's unprofessional.
The worst is Muppet has licked her pussy on this couch somewhere or another. So
that's almost an entire episode without talking about Muppet's pussy.
Must have happened here.
Damn.
But Friday night too, we do Jackanese. I get together with my friend Jackie, and we just get hammered. People pay us to chug White Claw, and we just hang out. And yeah, it's fun. That's Friday at 6 p.m. ET. Twitch.tv/HoldenatorsHo. Check me. I think I'm Holdenators on Twitch. I'm Holden some fuck on Instagram. You can catch me at fucking Cutie Blues on OK Cupid. You can find me.
What?
Catch you at the Chuckle Fuck down in Hilton Head?
Santa Lena, which I think is in Florida. I don't know. Yeah. You can catch me at Rip. Toe.
Holden, it says here you live in Queens.
I do live in Queens. I live in Astoria.
Is it time for my Actoria joke?
Your Astoria
you already did
joke?
It.
Oh, yeah. But were we live back? I guess we were.
What do you think about living in a former piano factory, like a company town? Astoria is like the most company town there is.
I was dragged.
Why, because of Steinway Street? Because
of Steinway?
Steinway and Astor.
I didn't even think about that.
Well, Steinway, I knew.
And Astor.
You're blowing my fucking mind right now.
Yeah, it was a huge company town.
That makes sense. So I was dragged kicking and screaming out of Williamsburg, and then like 2 months into a story, I'm like, oh, this is way better.
But where'd you meet the wife?
I met her. She was coming to my sketch comedy shows, Murder Fist.
Shout out. I was doing my fun comedy.
You were living in Williamsburg, or you were
I was living in Williamsburg.
And then you had to escape.
I was living in such a bro-y apartment. Ben Kissel still lives there. Ben Kissel from Last Podcast on the Left. It was him, me, a guy named like Scruffs. I don't even know what the guy's name was.
I don't know who he was, but we could always hear him having sex on the couch.
Yep. Eating ass too. Sucking on ass a lot
ben
on the couch.
Is
practice
there.
Ass.
Ben is still there, but it's just Ben now.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. He's on the road like 150.
But this place, like I've been there a few times. Like sometimes there's no fucking door handle. Like,
yeah,
for
dude,
real. They just,
real,
like, walk
bro.
In and be like, what the fuck?
What the fuck? Yeah, it's like, we have a little corner of just loot for robbers to take, so they just kind of get busy with that.
Please don't go further into the apartment. Just stop here.
I think he's finally replaced, but there was a time I went there, I was like, Ben, half of the shit in here is still furniture from my college apartment. You are, like, 10 times richer than I maybe will ever be. Can you fucking buy a bunch of new furniture? Pay somebody to buy a bunch of furniture.
He didn't get rich by writing a bunch of checks.
That's true. He didn't get rich by writing a bunch of checks.
Time to write another delicious memo.
Well, as the time fades from this episode, I just wanted to say that we're all on the Last Podcast Network.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So let's give them a big shout out. Check them out, lastpodcastnetwork.com. Also, we have Patreon, patreon.com/
Danny and Mike with the and spelled out.
That's it. And you can find this guy at Danny Tamborelli on the Instas, at D Tamborelli on the Twitters.
True.
Michael's at Michael C on the Twitters. I am at Jeremy Balin on the Instas, at Remy Balin on other things. What else we got? Oh, we're going on tour. Check out nostalgiapersonified.com. We have a bunch of dates in Florida coming up.
Oh my God. Good luck with that fucking sucky date.
We love it. Pompano Beach, Orlando, and Jacksonville,
try not to get fucking every sexual assault ever to happen to you while you're out there.
That's why we do them all at breweries.
Easy.
That's why we do them all at breweries.
I'm kidding. Florida's great. I met the love of my life there. My mom's from there. Everything's cool. Yeah, don't get mad at me. Yeah. Don't send me hate.
Spanish moss. Spanish moss.
Yeah.
That's right.
Don't bag it up and put it in upholstery because Henry Ford did that and everybody got itchy.
Oh, wait, I thought you were going to make up. Bag it, tag it.
Oh, sell it to the butcher in the store. Oh,
God damn it.
Tag it. Sell it to the butcher in the store.
Damn fish callbacks. You've been great. Bye.
Bye.
And I see you.
The Adventures of Danny and Mike stars Danny Tamborelli and Michael C. Marona. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Baylor. This podcast is part of the Last Podcast Network, which can be found at lastpodcastnetwork.com. Make sure to check that out for a ton of great shows. For more information on the guys, visit our website at dannyandmike.com. Also, look us up on Twitter at Danny and Mike with the N spelled out, and on Facebook at facebook.com/ The Adventures of Danny and Mike. Thanks for listening.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.